Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Since you guys all know it is tax season, I want you guys to know that today's sponsor is brought to you by Magnolia Tax Services. If you're a business owner or a high-earning individual, take control of your finances with the tailored tax planning services of Magnolia Tax Services. Their team of certified public accountants and enrolled agents specializes in maximizing savings for individuals and businesses by utilizing the latest tax laws and strategies. From complex business structures to high net worth individuals, they'll develop a customized plan to minimize your tax liability and increase your bottom line. Don't leave money on the table. Contact our partners at Magnolia Tax Services today for a consultation and get a $100 credit towards your service by clicking the link in the show notes. That's right, guys. Like I said in the beginning, it is tax season, so you want to make sure you tap in with my guys at Magnolia Tax Service today. And once again, that link is in the show notes, and now we'll get right into the show.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Yo, 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 welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier, and today I got another dope, amazing episode for y'all. But before we get right into this episode, I would like to advise all the listeners, all the watchers, to please subscribe, leave that 5-star rating, review, like, share, comment, do all those things. We're truly trying to run those numbers up, so if y'all could do those things, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. And getting right to the show, so today I have another very special, special guest. He's doing some dope things, and he's about to give us some games. So y'all better get y'all notepads out. Get ready to take some notes for real, because he's finna drop some gems. His name is Jamari James, and I'm excited to have him on the show. Welcome to the show, bro.
Appreciate it, my brother. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
I'm glad you're here, man. I'm getting right into it. So do you mind giving a brief background on yourself for the people who this may be their first time seeing or hearing of you?
Yeah, for sure. So 30, it's been a wild ride. Going from corporate, fresh out of college, played football, D2, went straight into corporate, used to audit state and federal credit unions for about 4 or 5 years. So I've been in the accounting space for a while, and transitioning out of the accounting space to, you know, being a full-time entrepreneur was crazy. And I say that just because, you know, most of us, we dream about stuff like that on our own business and really honing in on what we want to do. But I think the biggest thing, culture shock wise, was understanding like the only person that really got you is you. You know what I'm saying? If you don't believe in yourself, ain't nobody else gonna believe in you. And really just understanding that, having that confidence, like plan A is plan A and there ain't no plan B.
I can't
go back to what I used to do. Yeah. So,
but now I know you understand you're an entrepreneur, business person, all that, but what was you doing before that,
point? So yeah, and I was in accounting. I used to audit state and federal credit unions.
Okay.
I did that for...
What does that mean? When people hear that, and they're like, what the hell is
that? So the person who walk in the bank and pull your loan file and make sure everything right. So make sure the books balance out. Make sure most of these companies are crossing their I's and dotting their T's. Ain't nobody embezzling funds, stuff like that.
Okay. So, and then how long did you do that?
I did that for... almost 4 years. Okay. And then I transitioned from that into doing the same thing for government entities.
Okay. So, and then you transitioned from that to doing it on your own.
Yeah, to doing it on my own. Yep. Started doing it for myself, for small businesses, and then that kind of got me into kind of got me into the credit repair space and got me into like suing debt collectors and, you know, just helping consumers on an everyday basis. Cause I'm gonna just be honest with you. Most people, you know, they get that paperwork from a company and they getting sued. They be like, oh shit, I ain't gonna say nothing. And that's one of the worst things to ever do. Cause if you don't say anything, you basically admitting guilt. So just helping people that look like me and you really understand that process and understand that they can take their power back and understand it's literally just a contract. They're inviting you into contract when they bring you to court and stuff like that. So just making sure people understand that and understand their ability to fight back against debt collectors in general, because that's, you know, what most people deal with when it comes to these court cases. So yeah.
So let's talk about it, man, because you said suing debt collectors. I think this is a concept that a lot of people probably not even aware of, that they can go take this step.
Right.
So break that down, like how do someone, what's the reason for someone to even do this?
The biggest reason for somebody to do it, first of all, we'll just say, hypothetically speaking, I had a credit card when I was younger, 22, 23.
Right.
And, you know, I might have been irresponsible and we'll just say Navy Federal, for instance, charged that credit card off. So they charged it off. Now you got that charge off on your credit report and you thinking it's over with. Navy Federal turns around and reaches out to, we'll just say, one of so-and-so debt collection LLC. And, you know, Navy Federal gives them all your non-public information, you know, your name, your address, your social stuff they're not supposed to have. And when they do that, they sell it to them for, we'll just say you owe $8,000. They might sell it to them for two.
Right.
Then that company's now reaching out to the bureaus and putting that on your credit report saying you owe them $8,000 when
you ain't never did
never
transaction with them.
Not one transaction with them. So really just understanding, like, hey, this on my credit report, I didn't give you permission to put this here. I've never done a contract with you. So in a sense, it's kind of like those old school mob movies, you know, when the mob used to extort businesses for money.
Yep.
It's the same thing. And they have, you know, federal codes that
allows them to legally do it.
No, they have federal codes that let you know that they're not supposed to do it. But in the United States, one of the biggest industries is, you know, not debt collection, but a collection of information. You know, all these companies sell our information. You know, we sign up for social media, all that different stuff. All these companies buy that information so they know how to sell to you. It's the same thing when it comes to your non-public information. A lot of these companies, Navy Federal, any place you get a credit card with, they never in the disclosures tell you that you have the right to opt out. They never tell you that, right? Because if they don't tell you that, now they can sell you the information. Right. So once you sell my information and it goes to so-and-so debt collection company and they reaching out to me, like I said, now they're trying to extort me for an extension of credit, which is that's a hefty fine here in the United States. Yeah. 18 USC 894. I kind of had a conversation, you know, when I'm reaching out to the, you know, CFO or CEO, whoever's in charge of these collection agencies, I just kind of let them know, hey, look, I've never done business with you. So if you can't provide me with an official affidavit of debt, bill of sale, all the accounting records showing, you know, from A to Z how I owe you this money, there's nothing we can do here, right? So, you know, have that conversation. I don't get rude and disrespectful with them until they be like, oh, well, unless you pay it, it's nothing we can do. Okay, cool. I gave you an opportunity to fix the situation. You didn't do so. So now I need to do what I need to do to get my clap back.
Hey, that's funny. But going back to something you said, when you talk about these companies, they selling data. It's the reason why they say data is more valuable than gold these days.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? The world moves on that. They acquire all this data, and that's how they're making all this money for real.
For sure. Like me and you might have a conversation about real estate, and then you get on Facebook, and then real estate ads.
Real estate ads.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Or some shoes or something.
Right.
You're talking about some dunks or something. As soon as we had this conversation right now about some dunks, I leave, walk to my car, get on my phone. I guarantee it's going to be some dunks pop up on my phone.
Yeah,
That's how I work. Data. So let's say, let's break down the process on how this works. So somebody, hypothetically, they get a letter in the mail saying, you owe this person. Then the next step is that they send out a letter back to them saying.
Yeah, so if I'm the person who got that letter, I'll send out a letter back. I'm not asking I don't ask for debt validation or anything like that. I want you to prove it, which some people consider it as validation, but right. I want you to prove it. Show me how I owe you. Show me where you bought this debt. Show me that you are the original due holder in course of this debt. Show me my contract with you. Show me the accounting records from the time I opened this transaction with you until now that proves I owe you. They can't do that. And then I turn around and hit them with a lot of case law, a case that I use all the time, Spears versus Brennan, Court of Indiana, 1996, was a court case where a debt collector got a default judgment against a consumer. The consumer basically filed and was able to get the default judgment removed, but also got the court case dropped. And then he turned around and hit them with a counterclaim as well, because the simple fact that, what are they going to send you? Most of the time, they're going to send you your contract, or they're going to send you billing statements. Billing statements are not documentary evidence. All they show, yeah, all they show, literally, in that court case, it lays it out. All billing statements show is your, quote unquote, your running balance, right? But it doesn't show me the accounting records. The original contract only shows what? Your interest rate and how much you know, the such a credit card or car or whatever they're suing you for was worth. It doesn't show the accounting records. So therefore, it does not, it's not proper validation, right? Because it's not proper. It basically just sum up in conclusion before we go too deep. It's not proper validation of this debt, right? So when you use that, when I'm requesting all this stuff and I'm requesting your license too to collect in my state, because most of the time a lot of these debt collection companies, they don't have a license to collect in your state. When I'm requesting all this stuff that I know you can't provide, and I used to look at loans, so now I know what I'm looking for.
You're looking for.
Right. So when you send me a whole bunch of BS back, all right, cool. Now it's time to go ahead and give you an opportunity to fix the situation by removing this this trade line from my report, or I'm going to go for criminal and civil penalties, correct?
And taking that next step and going for criminal and civil penalties and suing them, what is that process like? Is it you just going to hire a lawyer to sue, or like how does that work?
So for me now, I'm doing it myself. The first time I ever did it, I'll just be honest with you, but I lost the first time I ever did it, because really? I listening to people who, you know, we both know people get on the internet and they regurgitate information.
Yep. Without experiencing nothing.
So you start listening to them and you go do it and then your ass is grass. I lost the first time I was a debt collector for coming after me. I lost. I got smashed. But
what they hit you with in the loss?
They basically just said I didn't state a claim. A failure to state a claim. That's what most people going to get when they trying to, you know, just use these 18 USC this or 15. Like, all right, right, cool. You still need to state a claim, right? If you never state a claim, you really don't have a case. So you can get on the internet and say whatever you want to, but, you know, the paperwork from the court case, not going to lie. So the biggest thing I tell people off the jump is you got to be able to state a claim. Don't just say, oh, they violated your rights. What rights did they violate? Can you prove that? Do you have the exhibits to prove that? So what I tell people straight up is if you're not comfortable doing it yourself, yeah, find a consumer lawyer or find somebody who's done it before. But that process just looks like going to the courthouse, filing literally statement of claim, right? Because your statement of claim is going to tell what it is. But if you don't know what you're doing, most of the times, you know what I'm saying, you're going to end up with an L. So what a lot of people now are doing, and what's heavy in the consumer law space, is arbitration. Shout out to Jen. Shout out to my boy Vance. You know, some of the people in the game killing it when it comes to arbitration. And you can arbitrate these debt collectors now, because most of the time that original contract for Navy Federal or Chase or Citibank had an arbitration agreement in it, right? So now you got somebody who can help you, because now you have a middleman who's looking at pretty much everything. Yeah. So.
So and when somebody is going on a journey of this process, right? Because I know people about to hear this and they finna say, "Oh shit, I ain't know this. I'm finna do this myself." Right. How long is that process?
It just depends on how fast that company responds. I always tell people to send everything certified mail. I tell people to get things notarized at the courthouse. Because makes sense. Yep. Now I'm creating my paper trail in the mail. So if we do end up going to court, you can't turn around, Xavier, and say, "Oh,
I never got this.
Yes, you did. You got this on September 30th at 2:56 p.m. You signed for it, or somebody from your company signed for it. Because I mean, they're gonna play the game, right? They think you found a template online. They think you got somebody who don't know nothing really helping you.
Yep.
So they gonna play the game. But if you learn how to play the game back, and you learn how to push them into a corner, and back them into the wall, and say, either you gonna do this or you do this. Either you're going to do this or this is going to happen. Most of the time, they don't want that smoke, because the way I go about it, I'm going after the CEO. If this company, if the CEO go to jail, what's going to happen? Company done.
Company over.
I ain't going after the customer service rep that I spoke to. I'm going after the CEO. Because at the end of the day, you know the deceptive and unfair practices that you guys are committing every single day. You just hope that I'm ignorant, or that the people around us that you're going after are ignorant and they have no understanding of what's going on, so you can get away with it.
Ignorance is playing on people. Ignorance is a $1 trillion industry.
That's the United States of America.
Most of us lose bread, and most instances is because we're ignorant to whatever we getting ourselves into, whether it's cars, homes, shit. You go to the clothing store, jewelry.
Yeah, for sure.
Like they gonna make money most likely based on you not knowing certain shit.
Yep.
And this ain't really no different.
Nah, yeah, and like I said, it took for me to take that L. It took me to take that L and be like, all right, bro, I'm not listening to nobody else. I'm gonna go out and use what I've already learned through experience in accounting to, you know, make a couple of checks. Because when you get that, you know, $1,000, $1,500 from that debt collector from violating you just so that you won't file against them, right? Or you'll drop whatever you think you may have. That's non-taxable income. So, you know, so if it's me or you helping somebody in your family, you know, just to get the experience, that's $1,000 that you ain't have to work for, all because they violated your rights. So.
That's facts right there. But talk about the impact of somebody doing this and being successful. What does this? How does this impact them in a good way?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the biggest one I just said is non-taxable income. So now mm-hmm. you could. I mean, if I you know get on Pacer or if I get on. Or if I just put out a post, hey, look, I'm offering to help you if you got collections on your account, $0 down, right? Everybody's going to hit you up because now I don't have to pay you. I can come to you, hey, I got 6 collection accounts or I got 13 collection accounts. Knowing that you know the information, you know what to do, it's going to be some checks cut, right? Now, how much, you know, they get off that check, it don't matter. But at least now they'll get this off the report because they know they have no prior knowledge of how to help themselves. And they're coming to somebody, you know, with such an experience who can, you know, if I make some money, I'm going to make sure they straight too.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? So it's a win-win situation.
And I've seen on your Instagram the testimonies you got.
Yeah.
You helping people. Share some of those stories because I've seen one story where somebody was like, they didn't show up to court.
So like I said earlier, understanding when they're inviting you to court, they're inviting you in the contract, right?
What you mean by that?
So when you start to understand how surety shit works, when you start to understand how equity works, and you start to understand how contracts really contract law really works, anytime I get a ticket, anytime I get somebody trying to sue me or something, that's an invitation in the contract. I know it don't make sense. I know, but it's basically just understand it's an invitation to contract.
Okay,
right. So either you're inviting me to come to court to do business,
right?
The courts are a business.
It makes sense. I get it.
If I understand that it's a business and I understand the laws that protect me, right now, like I said earlier, I know that I didn't give this attorney or this debt collection company access to my non-public information. But I know for a fact that the original company that I did business with, they never gave my opt-out disclosure. How do I know? Because I'm pretty sure I still got a copy of that contract or I can request one. They never let you know you have the option to opt out of your non-public information mm-hmm. being sold. That's under the Gramm-Leach-Bliley Act. It's a lot of different other, you know, USC codes and CFR codes that protect us as consumers. But again, we never do the research. We never do the studying to figure out how to protect ourselves from our information being sold and what we can do to, you know, take back our power a little bit.
How many consumer, are there a lot of laws based on consumer protection compared to sellers protection?
So there are a lot of laws based on it, but I can't just throw a whole bunch of laws out there at you. If you're a debt collector or you're a lawyer, I need to come with some type of stuff to protect. I mean, something backing that law. So I need to either come with case law or I need to have exhibits via, you know, my original contract with this company or me showing that I sent you certified mail requesting validation of this debt that you didn't respond to. So I can't just, if that's the case, everybody would just put laws together and send it off.
Right.
You can't do that.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
You gotta have exhibits. You gotta be able, you know, you gotta have some case law and some things to back you, or you kind of you like a fish with your head cut off.
Can you do any of this if you don't have those contracts with whoever you did business with?
Yeah, because you still can create a paper trail through the mail. So let's just say me and you we co-signed on a car together. We got a car with Navy Federal, but I can't get the contract. You can still reach out to Navy Federal and say, hey, I like a copy of this, you know, consumer credit transaction I did with you guys from 2020 or 2019. By law, they have to give you a copy. They can't say, oh, we don't have that, or oh, we can't give you that. Why you can't? If you can't give it to me, what you hiding? You hiding something?
You hiding something, for sure.
So if you hiding something, let's go ahead and get the IRS involved. If I get the IRS involved, who going to jail?
You already know.
The CEO. You see what I'm saying? So they don't want that type of smoke. They'll play games with you if you don't know what to do.
If you don't know what you're doing.
Right. If I know what I'm doing and I know what to say off the jump, they're not gonna play with you.
Yo, this is really interesting because this is it can help a lot of people and change their life. There's plenty, damn near most people you gonna know got some kind of collection.
For sure.
that's on their report.
Whether it be medical or, you know.
Something.
Yeah, something.
Something's on their report. And the fact that they could get this fixed, especially like going through this process,
right.
That's life changing for real. Because when you got, let's be real, once you got a low credit score, it messes up your quality of living.
Yeah.
You can't get certain cars. You can't get certain cribs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and that, like I said, that affect, if you got kids, that affect their quality of living. You got a girl, a husband, that affect their quality of living. So this is extremely important for real.
Yeah, for sure.
For people to know this.
Yeah.
But they keep, but I see why they keep this information away from people. Yeah, they gatekeep it because it's like, this is, they making so much money from this shit.
Yeah. So like I said, bro, like if I didn't take that L in court, I probably would still follow a lot of people that's doing it wrong, right? But
yeah, it was necessary.
Oh yeah, for sure. It took me back to the drawing board, and I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna create my own process based off of what I've done in accounting. Cause I know some people be like, oh, I never learned nothing from school. That this one thing that I can say I learned in school, and now that I learned it and I understand it, I know how to play the game. So back to that court case you were talking about. Since we understand contracts, all I did was put together some paperwork, requesting certain accounting things. Requesting certain exhibits from not only the debt collection company, but the attorney. Because at this point, as an attorney, you basically, in this case, you stating that you have firsthand knowledge of my account. But you weren't there when I...
Well, you weren't right.
You weren't there. So what are you really doing here?
That's crazy.
Do you have an equitable interest in this case?
That's what it's going to... Exactly.
So it's just stuff like that. So, and at the end of the day, you know, as an attorney, I'm sure some attorneys going to see this too. At the end of the day, this puts their bar at, you know, you putting your bar on the line if you come in and say, yeah, that you have firsthand knowledge of my account, and I know you don't. So if I can prove it, what you going to really do? You already got paid. You're going to drop this case and you're going to keep it moving.
Real talk.
So that testimony you saw, that's what happened. The attorney didn't even show up to court. Because of the things we requested, as well as some of the questions I asked him to swear under penalty and perjury that he had knowledge about, he want that smoke.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
At this point, how many cases have you done, whether it's personal or other people?
That personally, myself, I only had three, just myself.
Okay.
But I can't even count on two hands how many people I've helped now. And then sometimes people DM me and ask questions, and you know, if I'm having a good day, I'll just give some free game. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, right. At the end of the day, you never know how you might give some free game on something. You might have saved somebody's life. You might have saved their marriage. You might have saved them from losing their kids. Yeah, so sometimes I, you know, people ask questions and I'll just give free game. I don't charge everybody for everything, because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, it was the reason why God put this information there for me to learn. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times I just give it, man, because I just look at it as a mentor, as a brother, as a friend to so many different people. Why would I not want to help at least a little bit?
All right.
Like, you know, just guide you in the right direction. I can't do it all for you. Mm. What Nipsey say? I never taught how to fish. I just lead to the lake. That's it.
For the three times that you had to do personally, did you have to go to court all three times?
The first time I did, and that was when I took the L. Second time, the attorney didn't show up. The third time, we didn't even make it to court. So once I started, really understanding what to ask for, what exhibits to bring with me, what case law to use to protect myself so that there's no rebuttal that you can come back from as an attorney or as that company. Once I started doing that, but some attorneys will try to hit you with, oh, you practicing law. But if my client never signed a power of attorney and I'm just advising them and I'm never in the picture, no liability.
Because I could see why some attorneys would be like, oh, I see you trying to practice law when you're not actually, you never passed the bar, you're not a lawyer or something like that. But like you said, if you're not showing up to court or showing face or anything like that, you don't really know what's
just in the background.
That make a lot of sense. And this, I can't remember what I was about to say, but this brings up also a good point on why I talk about. Because, you know, today in these times, people are always sitting on 9-to-5 and jobs or whatever. And my viewpoint is, how I see it is, okay, if you're working a shit job, you're making fucking $5 an hour. Okay, shit on jobs all you want. But at the end of the day, a lot of these careers and positions can give you so much value and information that you can, if you decide to transition, you can use this to do your own thing if that's truly what you want to do.
100%.
And you are proof of that.
Oh, 100%. I'll never shit on 9-to-5s, because at the end of the day, how you really gonna pay your bills? Like, you know, social media makes entrepreneurship look sweet, and that shit is not sweet. You can make $4,000 a day, and you might not make another dime for 2 months. So, to everybody, if you working a job, don't quit your job. I don't give a damn what nobody tell you. Unless you got, you know, 4 or 5, maybe 6 months worth of expenses saved up, don't quit your job, because you literally going from leaving a job to working your own business, but you still an employee of your own business. If you ain't got your operation set up, if you don't have, you know, things in place to where you're overseeing the business, rather than working a business every day, you putting yourself in the same position. So, I would never tell anybody leave a 9 to 5 unless you just truly just, you can't take it every day. That's a different story. But some of y'all wake up and see, oh, hey, have you seen so-and-so on social media? They said they quit their job and started a Turo business, and they ain't just quit. I guarantee they had some help. They took a mentorship. Their credit was right to go and get the cars that they want and stuff like that. But
they staying with somebody. They ain't got to pay no rent. Or
right. They probably living at home, or, you know, they might got a sugar daddy or sugar mom. No, hey, I don't judge nobody.
That's facts, though.
You know what I'm saying? So, if y'all out here listening, man, just make the best decision for you. If you're in the situation to where you feel like your job is killing you every day and you got a way out, take it. You know what I'm saying? But don't just quit your job thinking, oh, I'm about to be a millionaire at the end of the month. Cause that's
that trash. There's a 99% chance it's not gonna go that way,
right?
And you know what's funny is when people hear this conversation, like naysayers or whatever, they'll be like, "Oh, why y'all being fearful or telling people to stick with slavery?" People use these terms, and I'm like, "Yo, y'all are fucking insane."
I've had this conversation so many times, and people are like, "Oh, you trying to use fear to keep people in jobs?" Like, no, motherfucker, I'm using common sense. If you already living paycheck to paycheck, why would you quit a job and say, "Hey, I'm gonna chase my dreams"? Yeah, go ahead and save up about 7 or 8 of those paychecks, and then do that. That's like jumping off a cliff with no parachute.
No parachute.
You setting yourself up for failure. So the people who tell people they living in fear, I can't agree with that, because you don't know everybody's situation.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Some people did jump off the bridge and made a million in their first month, but I guarantee they took some type of mentorship or had some type of game plan. Some people don't have no game plan. They ain't took a mentorship. Their credit ain't good. They don't know nobody doing good. They're the smartest person in their circle. So in a sense, you're in a square. You know what I'm saying? You don't have nobody that you can reach out to and say, "Hey, what you think about this?" And so what I tell people is, before you quit your job, why don't you get in a room with people who are smarter than you and have conversations with them and see what they say. Stop looking at social media to be a be-all, tell-all. Because people look at my social media and be like, "Bro, you killing it. And I'm like, "Bro, y'all don't know what it took to get here. Like, y'all don't know what it took to get here. I ain't even a millionaire. And if the right job called, I go back. Because if you can make the situation work, why not?
Why not?
You know what I'm saying? Most of these jobs hybrid. Most of y'all sit at home and be on social media any day.
Exactly.
So I'll sit at home and work and still work my business too. So
no, this bro, you talking some real shit, because I say this all the time, and people always say the same thing. Well, they'll be like, "But you did it and you went and you left your job." And I'll be like, "Bro, just because I did something successfully, I would be a fool to think just because I did it, everybody else is gonna do it." Right. I know, not to like toot my own horn, but I know, like, I'm kind of an anomaly. And not only that, I have my shit set up.
Right. And then you have to realize too, everybody who might follow you, they might not have the same discipline as you.
Exactly.
Right. They might just be like, "Oh shit, bro, I'm just winging it." Or, you know, we all know people who got certain addictions, whether it be, you know, spending too much money on, you know, weed or alcohol or different, you know, other outlets, like going out and stuff like that. Some people don't have, like you said, don't have their shit set up. So if you do make that decision, now you like, "Hold on, wait a minute, I got to retract.
I got to retract.
I did this off of impulse just because I saw a post on Instagram or I saw this person." And what it is people don't really care to be an entrepreneur. They want everything that come with it. They want the freedom. They want the, you know, the cars that they see people driving. Man, listen, some of y'all favorite gurus on Instagram, them shit is rented. Them shit is leased. They ain't theirs. You know what I'm saying? We just going to keep it a buck. That's not their shit.
It ain't.
You know what I'm saying? And I done seen it too. Some people I follow, I'm like, "Damn, I thought he was like that." But he not really like that.
Man, if I told you how many, you know that song, I don't know if you listen to Rick Ross, but you know that song, Rick Ross, he was talking about Birdman. He was like, "It broke my heart when I found out they Rolexes when they were in the real." If I told you how many instances I've been in this social media shit, been around people that people look up to.
Yeah.
And you, everybody like, "Oh, they get it." And you around them in person, and you like,
"They not getting
that
it."
That shit break your heart. You be
they just playing a the game. They put on a facade because they know if I roll up in the Rolls Royce, so I got the Cullinan, if I got the chains, I got the jewelry.
You gonna see.
I look the part. I'm gonna speak a little bit. You don't know anything about what I'm speaking about. So now you like, "Damn, bro, got the game. He got the sauce." And then you get the information, and you like, this person not even doing 97% of stuff that they selling.
Right.
So I just tell people straight up, just be like, this shit worked for me, and I know it worked for you too, because I can tell you, just like me, you authentically you. I don't try to be nobody.
Facts.
I just be me. If I've done it, hey, look, this is what I've done. This is how I did it. If I haven't done it, hey, bro, that sounds cool. I haven't done that, so I can't speak on that. You know what I'm saying? I think that's where people, that's where the issue comes in entrepreneur, because you might be in one space, but now this other space popping, you like, oh, let me act like I do it. You don't do it. It's cool.
It's cool.
Just help the people in your lane and stay there. So,
dog, you talking some real shit,
because I live in Atlanta.
So you know, you know what the fuck going on.
Like, people see me roll up in my truck, they be like, okay, you in that? Where the rest of your cars? I'm like, well, my shit paid off, and it's a 2021. I don't need a Lambo. I don't need
facts.
Everything that you know some people have. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just not me. I just be who I am and you know, live in my space.
Man, that's so real. Like, the people don't understand. Like, they just don't understand this, bro. They want to jump off the porch. They want to see what other people work. Like, I don't know if I ever shared this, but I know when I left my job, when I got out the military, I remember calculating, because I was real calculative how I was going to do
analytical.
This. Yeah, I had enough money to pay my bills for 4.5 years.
Okay.
So if I didn't make a dime, this was my thought process. If I don't make a dollar for the next 4.5 years, I can still pay my bills. Right. So I'm like, I got 4.5 years to get right with entrepreneurship.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's time. I bought myself time.
Right.
If you don't have that time, ideally, leaving your job to become an entrepreneur is not the smartest thing to do.
I agree.
Say you need 4.5 years.
I agree. Zay, I did the same thing. So when I originally left corporate, my grandpa had just died. But previous to that, I had conversations with him, and I was like, hey, I'm just saving up. I was like, I ain't going out. I'm saving up because I know I don't want to be here. So if I quit this job, at least I got a cushion to hold me until I can find another job, until I figure it out. And something that he said to me was, it got to be in you, not on you.
Mm.
Right? He's like, it got to be in you. He's like, if you do this, if you leave this job, you know, you only what? At that time, that was what, 3 years ago? So I was 27. So he was like, if you do this, understand, you still got time to make it right. But you got to make sure that you're doing everything you need to do. Like you said, you said, even if I don't make a dime for 4.5 years, I'm good. I looked at it as, I'm good for, I will not 4.5. I was probably good for like 1.5 years, but I was like, at least in 1.5 years, I know if I put in the work, I'm going to figure this out. Something going to happen. And then that's what happened. Like, got into the credit repair space, just started popping, right? Understood, you know, and a big thing I feel like with us, that a lot of information is gatekeeped from us because we're so creative. So getting into that space and understanding, dang, I could do this, and just focusing on doing one thing at a time, it just helped me, because now, boom, I could help my friend start a business doing X, Y, and Z. I might have been interested in it, but he's better.
Keep better,
this
right?
His lane. Let me help him, right? Helping people in my family. My mom had a bankruptcy, right? People trying to charge me $5,000 to get it off. That's what made me really get into credit. I was like, fuck.
$5,000.
I just wanted off her report so she could, you know, do what she wanted to do as far as refinance and use that money elsewhere in the crib. People was like, $5,000. I was like, yo, y'all out y'all fucking mind. I was like, I figured it out. And that's what I did. Joined a mentorship, figured it out. And then once I figured it out, it was a wrap, because that takes you into so many different lanes. So I got the credit repair. Now I got funding.
Yep.
Can do that. Get paid off that. Show people how to do that. Get paid off that. And then now, just like you, I started thinking real estate. I started thinking other different type of investments that are passive to where I can set myself up to now. Yeah, I don't got to go back to work.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at now. So, yeah, if you out there and you don't have 6 months saved up, don't quit your damn job. Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself.
No, for
real. I promise you. Please don't.
I know it's somebody right now that's listening or watching this, and they like, yo, today's the day. I'm out.
But if you got your own crib and you can't afford it, go back home and live with mama. It's okay.
Talk about that, bro. So
I graduated my master's, and I stayed with me and my dad. We had started getting back on good terms. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't around for a long time, but we started to build an actual relationship. I stayed with him for 1.5 years before I moved out.
How old was you?
25.
See?
25. Out of my master's. I was like, I ain't moving to the city because I can't afford it. I ain't have much saved up.
Self-awareness.
Yep. I was like, shit, I'm going to make that sacrifice, stay with him for 2 years, and then I was up, and I got my own spot for 1 year, and then I bought a house after that.
That shows the power of you not caring about, because you know what stops a lot of people from doing that? What my homie's going to say?
What's pride and ego.
The chick's going
to
say?
Listen, if your ego bigger than your bank account, you need to reevaluate, and we just going to keep it a buck. That's just what it is. If you got too much ego to say, hey, I can't go back home to get my shit together because I want to live this type of life, or I want to look a certain way, who you really trying to look good for? We just gonna keep it, but most men, they trying to look good for the bitches on social media. No disrespect. I'm sorry, the women on social media. That's what they trying to do. They want to look good for so-and-so to impress her. When it's like, bro, all you got to do is be yourself. If you're a cornball, you're a cornball. Exactly. Money ain't going to change that.
And if you need money to get her, she not for you anyway.
Right. But you know how they think. So,
yeah,
I mean,
it's the internet.
Everybody built on different principles. Everybody built on different things. And like I said, I was always taught character and integrity. And
facts.
Your word is your bond. So if I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it. How much money did you save that year staying with your pops?
Man, I was making 75.
See?
So all I had to do was help him with a couple bills, pay. I helped him with a couple bills, him, my stepmom. I handled my insurance and car note other than that. So I probably was saving a good 3 to 4, maybe 5.
Every month.
I ain't spend too much every month. Yeah, so that put you in a good situation. Now I can.
That's a luxury. For 100%. Imagine if most people that's making that money could save.
But we don't think
5.
That. We turn 18 and say, hey, I got to get my own. I got to get out here and get it. Why? Why are you doing that to yourself? Other
cultures,
Asians
like
don't
that.
Do that.
Mm-mm.
You know, other people don't. We the only ones who do that thing. I turn 18. I got to go.
And it's a lot of times it's the parents that saying you 18. You have to go.
And if that's the case, find a roommate. You got friends.
Mm.
They parent might have said the same thing. Instead of, oh, no, I need my own spot. No, you want your own spot. If you can't afford it, it's okay. It's okay to say, hey, bro, I can't do this right now. Let me go stay in somebody's basement that might only charge me $500-$600 a month. Rather than trying to go get a one bedroom and spend in Atlanta, you're going to spend, what, $1,700, $1,900, $2,100 on a one bedroom?
Crazy.
Because you want to live in the city? Just be smart.
And that's high as hell for somebody that just got a job.
Most jobs starting off, what,
45, 50, 30 to 45?
Mm-hmm. You can't live off that.
And then once you get out that job, you're only getting 45, and you already got those expenses. You are entering that hamster wheel because you're going to be on there.
You're entering what they, and that's why I tell people, you know, especially people that look like us and minorities, is you entering what they call the American dream. I had a mentor when I first started working, and he said, you never tell your boss everything you have going on. And I was like, why not? He's like, you got to understand. If he know everything you got going on, he know he got you out of balls. You just bought a house. Oh, you just had a baby. Oh yeah, I could treat you however I want to. You're not going nowhere.
Yep.
So when he told me that, it didn't make sense, and I started getting out there and really, you know, seeing it. I was like, okay, it makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And you don't tell them what you got going on, good or bad.
Right.
If it's bad, they're going to know they got you by the balls. If it's too good, they're going to start doing weird shit.
Oh, yeah.
Make the job worse because they hating. Like, right. They low-key hating on you. They like, oh, this motherfucker, he doing better than us and he work here. Let's just start making his job harder. Let's start writing him up. So, man, I remember when I started doing really good my last year or two in the military, people I worked with ain't no shit. I act like I was the dumbest, brokest motherfucker in the world, bro. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you could. I'm knowing all this shit about investing. They talking about investing. I'm like, damn, for real? I never heard of that. I ain't know nothing about crypto. I remember, incidentally, when one of my coworkers found out that I was like getting into business stuff, I was like, fuck. Because I already knew what it was going to come with.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Zay, let me take you to lunch, bro. Let me pick your brain, bro. Yeah. I hate that. That's one of the. And don't get me wrong, I don't mind giving free game, but I think that's one of the biggest things people say. Like, people I grew up with or people I knew be like, hey, bro, you Hollywood now. And I look at them and I just be like, nah, I'm not Hollywood. I just want better for myself, and I have to set those boundaries and value my time just like you value it, right?
Yeah.
So if I just let you call me anytime or you just text me anytime and I respond, I'm not setting no boundaries. You think that's cool. Homeboy or not. Homeboy or not. Like, certain stuff, yeah, I'm going to give you game on, but certain stuff is like, come on, bro.
No,
come on, bro.
People don't realize that the pick your brain is one of the worst networking strategies you could 100%. Possibly do. But people don't realize that when they're trying to network, because they don't understand how much somebody in a high position, they don't understand how much they value their time.
Right.
So it's like, you want me to sit down with you, give you all this information for 45 minutes, even if it's 30 minutes, for what? Well, I don't know you. Now, if I'm somebody, like you said, sometimes you can wake up in a generous mood and just be like, I'll help somebody. But usually, pick your brain. I want to sit on the phone. I want
to
meet you.
I want you to tell me what to do from X to Z. And the biggest thing I tell people is the best learning experience is experience.
That's it.
I could tell you, I had a conversation with somebody who, he's great at marketing. He probably been on your show before. He told me, he said, I know 97% of the people don't openness to information they buy from me, because I'll take the same product and name it something else and sell it again.
Hey,
so it's like we all out here just buying information, but you never execute on the information. So I realize you have to become a master executor. Steve Harvey said something at InvestFest last year. He said, in our community, we too big on knowing A to Z rather than getting started and letting God guide us the rest of the way. And once I heard that, I was like, bro, I'd be stressing about nothing.
No, that's bro.
It ain't no reason.
Man, you going crazy, dog. You
just being real, bro.
I literally was just having a conversation about this about 2 days ago. They said they got a course, and he said like 90% of the people don't make past 10%. And I was telling him, I was like, bro, it's because of shiny object syndrome. They seen your course, and they said, ooh, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of them signing up, and when they started, that what they call it, that dopamine on your brain, it dies. It, you know what I'm saying? It dies.
They said,
down.
Damn, wait a minute. I gotta do this. This is
I ain't going to get rich overnight. No. I seen somebody else's course. Let me go buy that.
Do that, yeah.
And that's, man, that's and going into what you said, we want to know what Steve Harvey said about we want to know A to Z. That's so powerful, because I always tell people, like, and people I don't know if they be believing me or not. I'll be like, bro, when I started this podcast, bro, I started off my phone, bro. Like, my first couple of episodes, what we used to do is I used to call somebody on the phone, like, call you, put it on speaker, get another phone, and record it. I ain't know nothing about podcasting. That's how I started, dog. I just worked.
Right.
I just kept doing shit. Now it's one of the biggest platforms. But when I started, I wasn't waiting. It's to say, like, right. I need a studio. I need a camera.
But that's
I need
what
a perfect
most
mic.
Do.
That's what most people
do.
Oh,
my brand not good. Oh, my logo ain't good.
Dog, I had 2,000 followers. Less than 2,000 followers when I started this shit, bro.
Yeah.
And this shit done got millions and millions of downloads. So I know firsthand that you cannot wait until the setup is perfect to start, because the setup will never be perfect.
Right. Yeah.
You just gotta start where you at.
The biggest thing is, like, something my grandpa used to tell me, I'm sure you probably heard before, nobody gonna save you.
Nope. Man.
Everybody got shit going on. Nobody's gonna save you. If you want something, you gotta go. You gotta do what you gotta do to get it. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's gonna save you, whether it be at work, whether it be at life. I mean, I'm sure people listening have heard, you tell your friends something that you're going bad, they be like, damn, bro, I'm here for you. I'm going to pray for you. That's it. That's all they can do.
That's all they can
do. Mama can't do nothing. Nobody can do nothing. The only person who can bring you out of a tough situation is you. And, you know, it took me to be at a job and be like,
to
and be depressed. Yeah, and like, bro, like, it was bad. Like, I would make an excuse every single day and I'd be late. And then, you know, like I said, once my grandpa passed in 2020, I was just like, fuck it, I'm out. I was like, I'm good. I was like, I'm just going to. I was like, I ain't got nothing else to lose. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I'm 27. I'm like, shit, if I get it wrong, I can always go back to work. It ain't like most of us, most people watching a podcast under 45.
Yeah.
You still got time. But because you planned your life, oh, I'm going to be married by 25. I'm going to be a millionaire. Because the stuff doesn't, because the shit don't go the way you planned it, now you feeling like you're a failure. And it's like, you're not a failure. Your 20s were for you to learn. Right, so in your 30s, you can execute. The people, I'll be so happy for people when I see they in their 20s and they making 10, 20, 30, 40,000.
They don't understand how rare it is.
They don't, right? Mm-hmm. So when I see stuff like that, I'm like, bro, that's great for you. You know what I'm saying? You did it. I was like, but that's not for the average person.
Mm-mm.
Like,
at all.
And, you know, for you, you say you started a podcast on your phone. You know what I'm saying? It's probably somebody else who did that and didn't get 100 views and they said, fuck this shit, I'm done.
That's exactly what happened.
And that's how it is, because social media has our culture in general so used to instant gratification, right? If it don't happen right now, I'm good on it.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
and you, bro, you saying a lot of stuff, bro, because when you talked about how being in a position where realizing that nobody can help you but yourself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that because they've never been in positions to force them to realize that. I remember what made me realize when I was in the military in tech school, I almost got kicked out for BSing around, not taking my test seriously, kicking it, chilling with girls and all that. And I remember I had to meet with like the commander so he could decide on whether he gonna kick me out or not. And I remember before that, I remember calling my parents, like, because I'm still in that mode of, man, my parents could help me. Let me call my mom and dad. They was just like,
they just listened to you, huh?
We gonna pray for you. That's all they said.
That's all they
in that
say.
Moment, it hit me immediately, like, oh shit. Can't nobody help me when I get in my in these situations but me. I gotta do right.
And I ain't saying nobody can't help people and
right.
Take it the wrong way is, but nobody can save you.
Only person who can save you
is you. I can tell you every single thing I did to get to where I'm at. And that's still not, that's just gonna tell you what I did. But people, like you said, they just, mom and dad, I'm going to pray for you. That's it. You got to be able to pull yourself out that drought. You got to be able to pull yourself out that depression. You got to be able to pull yourself out of whatever's going on to say, hey, this ain't the end. And I feel like a lot of people don't. They just get accustomed to life and they say, all right, this is where my life is and this is what it's going to be. And it's like, nah, nigga, you settled for that. Every single day is enough. No, seriously, you settled for that. You know what I'm saying? And then when people blame other people for what happened in their life, it's like, you can't do that. Because either you allowed those things to go on, you didn't set the boundaries, or you kind of just was cool with it. You know what I'm saying? So what I tell people all the time is, you know, something that, shout out to C-Dub. He was a guy that was an older cat when I was still in college playing football. I used to be mad because shit wasn't going my way then. And he used to say, hey, nephew, you got to understand, it's just like spades. You got to play the hand you dealt. Everything that happened in your life happened for a reason, whether it was to teach you a lesson or to help somebody else learn a lesson or to help somebody else grow. Everything happens for a reason. So how you respond to those things is what's either going to help you propel or just going to keep you where you at. So once he said that to me, and I really said it, because I can't play spades. I'm one of black people that can't play spades. I don't know if anybody want to teach me, let me know.
And I can't play either.
Oh, well, then cool. We on the same page. So once I understood, I'm just like, all right, cool. It's all about how you respond to stuff. You can't control everything in life. So if something bad happened, all right, cool. It is what it is. If I can't change the outcome, I ain't going to stress. I'm not going to trip. It is what it is. And we just going to keep it moving.
There's a lot of power in that too, yeah. In that mentality.
You're not giving energy to the negative situation, that negative condescending idea or thought that you might have. So,
Man, you speaking. I got a couple more things I want to touch on real quick. Going back into the what we was talking about in the beginning, we were talking reaching out to these debt collections. What is the talk about this for a second? When somebody do this to get this off their report, how much? Because I want to show people how much benefit this can be to them. Yeah. How much does their credit score changes or raises when they do this?
It depends on their profile already, but we'll just say you already got, you know, 10 accounts reporting, you got like 10 years worth of history. That one collection account can drop your score 60, 70 points. because it just depends on what type of account it was. And, you know, some people, you know, people get evictions. People get, you know, might have had a credit card, you ran up 30 grand and just said, hey, it is what it is. So now you got, you know, saying you got a collection account worth 30 grand on your account. They weigh a little bit. So I would say it's the difference between life and death. I'll just put it like that. That's how significant it is, because it could change that report 50, 60 points just from being either added or removed from the report. So
that's big, man. Like this some big stuff. So what's some things that can stop someone, from your experiences, from somebody winning these filings in court?
Failure to state a claim. That's the biggest thing. The biggest thing is you failing to state a claim. You throwing all these laws out here, but you're not backing it up with any exhibits, any case law or nothing. And you just kind of just rolling off what you seen people say on Instagram. Man, them attorneys gonna eat your ass alive.
You know, in our community, that's what a lot of motherfuckers do. Oh, yeah, you know, according to U.S., like, they don't know nothing.
Okay, yeah. I tell people all the time, and I'm big on this because that's how I got messed up. Show me some receipts. That's why on my page, all you see is receipts. I don't post nothing. I don't really care to post myself. I want to post receipts. You can't come over here talking about, I don't know what I'm talking about. Nah, show me some receipts. Like, even right now, the biggest thing is the down payment thing with cars. We see that all the time on Instagram. Everybody, pursuant 15 USC. Okay, show me a receipt.
Yeah.
Show me a check. Show me you got yours back. Show me you got your title. So when I show people I got my title, when I show people I got help other people do this, then it's like, oh, my God. Da, da, da. Or I'll get, you know, see people who post something, and you'll see people in the comments, oh, I worked in accounting for this many years. That's not how it's work. Or, oh, I worked at a dealership. That's not how it worked. Yeah, you're thinking about it from your dealership job. You're not thinking about it from the perspective of a consumer and how a consumer law actually works. So, man, the biggest thing, man, is just I got to see receipts. I don't regurgitate anything I haven't done or speak on anything I haven't done. I only post receipts. And I feel like that's what's big. So for y'all out there, if y'all listen to certain people say certain things or do certain things, just ask them to support some receipts. That's it. I don't argue with nobody. Nothing like that. Just show me some receipts. If you say you do this, that's like you say. If you say, hey, look, I can help you grow a podcast to 100,000 people, you got the receipts for that. You done had so many, you know, so many influential people in our community come on this show and speak their game. But that's like me being like, oh, hey, bro, I'll show you how to get the down payment of the title to your car back, and I don't got one receipt. Man. Receipts is huge.
That's so valuable in itself, because so many people in our community, they that get finessed and they worry about getting finessed simply because they don't know what questions to ask.
Right.
If you're about to do business with somebody, a transaction, all you got to do is simply ask them.
Show me the receipts.
Show me some receipts. Show me some testimonials. Show me some people that done did business with you and you didn't actually help them.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we don't do that, and then when some flaw shit happen, we wondering why.
Oh, yeah. We like, oh, no, bro, I can't. A big thing we'll see, I follow some, you know, heavy hitters in all communities, and I'll look on their pages just to see how people are interacting. And the biggest thing I see, people are like, oh, well, if your course is that good, give it away for free. a lot of these people do give their shit away for free. Exactly. You just not paying attention and understanding they're giving you free game every single day. You just not paying attention. You look for them to say, hey, bro, hit me in the DM. I'll give you this course for free right now. No, they gave you game every single day. Whether it be their stories, their posts, their testimonials, they're giving you so much information. But like you said, because you've been duped or you got shitted by somebody else, you like, nah, bro, I ain't spending that money. Hey, listen, that person's price is their price. I never ask somebody to negotiate the price. Whatever you tell me the price is, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
it.
People do not understand how insulting it is to want somebody to give you their time or something valuable to them for free. It's like, it goes back to that let me pick your brain conversation over coffee. It's like, motherfucker, you think an hour of my time is worth a cup of coffee?
100%. I think it's a self-love thing. I think it's a boundary thing. I think they don't understand, as a business owner, I got to have boundaries. Like, even my mama know, like, if I'm working, Ma, I'll hit you later.
My mom understands it too.
That's mama.
She don't trip at all. Mm-hmm.
So I think the biggest thing is people have to understand, like, people got boundaries. I'm a human being just like you, so... Mm. If I've been working my business all day at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I don't want to talk. I don't want to look at my DMs and see this question, that question. Just book a consultation. I give anybody 15 minutes for free. And I know I do it on purpose. I'll give so much game in a 15-minute consultation. They probably don't need me after that.
Mm.
Because it's not taking no money out of my pocket if I give you the game. Go ahead. Do whatever you're going to do with it. But like I said, 97% of people don't execute the information.
Man, you just dropped so much value, bro. I want to ask you this before we wrap up. For people that's listening to this, that's in a position where, let's say they could be young, old, whatever, but they in a position where it's like, man, I'm depressed. I don't see no way out. Like, what's your best piece of advice for them to get that ball rolling?
Most people depressed because of one or two things. And like I said it earlier, they've planned their life out and it's not going the way they wanted it to. Or they have an identity crisis. So the biggest thing, man, especially if you a minority, you need to go get therapy. It's a lot of free therapy out there for people that look just like us. But I'm sure it is for everybody else. I went to therapy 2018 because I started to rely on certain things as like a coping mechanism because I wasn't okay. Because life wasn't going the way I thought it should go. You know what I'm saying? So once I realized that, you start to identify those things and you go and sit with somebody who's not non-judgmental. They might look like you, they might not, but they can understand where you're coming from and they're giving you practical advice on how do I change this in my life? How do I change this? And the biggest thing, if you're depressed right now, you're looking at this, think about the first thing you do in the morning. Do you feed yourself positive energy? Do you tell yourself how much you love yourself? A big thing my therapist said, and I started to implement that, was take yourself on a date, just you. And people are like, why would I do that? I'm alone. That's the point. You're loving yourself. You're taking yourself on a date. You're spending quality time with yourself. And get back to a lot of the things that you did as a child that made you, like, that you enjoyed. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times when we become teenagers and we become young adults, we stop doing a lot of stuff that we enjoy. And we don't even know why. It's like an unconscious thing. Like me, I love yoga. So I do hot yoga all the time. I love writing, right? Because that allows my creative energy to flow. It don't even got to be about nothing. So they have a lot of journals, a lot of healing journals. I'll send you the link for one that you can post with this. Right. That one up, shout out to Kelly D. One of my homeboys sent it to me, and it's a healing journey for black men. It's a guy because, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of us are taught to be strong. Don't cry. Don't show emotion. But it's like the men who are the most vulnerable and can express themselves, those are the men that are healed. Those are the men that are actually flourishing and thriving because I can express how I feel. You can send me a paragraph telling me how you feel. I'm not going to text you back and be like, okay. It helps you see their point of view and understand, like, okay, this person is expressing me how they feel. And it helps you become more in tune with who you are as a man, as a woman, as a person. And therapy is really going to help you become whole again and help you understand who you are. Because the person you are today, you're about to be 30.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's not the same person you were at 20 or 21, 22 when you thought you had everything figured out.
Exactly.
Same here. I thought I knew a lot of stuff. And then now as I'm older, I'm like, bro, you didn't really know too much.
I didn't know nothing.
You just was learning. But, you know, that goes back to.
We might feel this way at 40 too.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You might feel this way at 40. But it goes back to, you know, in our community, like everybody, a lot of people broken. That's and nobody want to say, hey, I'm broken. I need help, or I need a community or a group to help me grow. And it's like, why not?
It's taboo.
It's crazy.
It is. You just dropped some game, and when you send me that link, I'm gonna put it in the channel notes for the people that want to get that journal. Make sure y'all hit the link in the podcast description, and we gonna so y'all get right. But my final question I got for you is: name your top three books.
Oh man, the Jewish phenomenon. Definitely.
Why is that?
Because it helps you understand how other cultures get together, man, and they put the wolf together. I feel like in our communities, man, it's a dog eat dog world. Everybody want to be the big dog.
Yep.
Nobody want to see nobody do better than them. And I never really understood that until I became an entrepreneur. And I get it. It's like they don't want you to outshine them. But shit, I look at it like, shit, you look like me. I want to see you shine. I want to see everybody shine. Because at the end of the day, it's enough money out there for everybody to eat. And I think people don't really understand that.
They don't.
But you read the Jewish phenomenon, you're going to see it's enough money out here for the next four or five generations to eat if you just set it up right.
Mm.
Right. Or if you just get around some people who look like you or don't even look like you, a group of people. Shit, we can both call 10 people right now and put together $100,000, $200,000 to go buy an apartment building.
Right.
Not everybody got equity. You know what I'm saying? So I think the biggest thing is we just really got to learn how to work together.
Mm-hmm.
From a culture perspective. So Jewish phenomenon, if you a man, I definitely would Way of the Superior Man.
That by David Deal.
Yeah, because it'll help you look at your relationships different. It'll help you look at women different. It'll help you look at how you handle situations different.
Absolutely.
And that was one of the books that my therapist recommended when I was in therapy in 2018. I try to read it at least once a year. So them two. The last one. I'm gonna give a good one.
Go ahead, give a good. You already gave two that ain't nobody said yet.
Let me look. it depends, man. If you it depends on what you're interested in, honestly. No, but yeah. Those two for sure. I don't know. The Jewish phenomenon did something to me. And also, I think it's called What Would the Rockefellers Do? What would the Rockefellers do?
Okay. Yeah,
so people can start to understand how to build that, you know, that real, because everybody taught generational wealth.
Exactly.
But a lot of people ain't really, man, even me, I used to, at first, when I first started, you know, I used to generational wealth, but then I had to realize, I'm like, bro, you ain't really did shit. You ain't got no life insurance. You ain't.
That shit got thrown, that saying got thrown out so much, I had to check myself, because I'm like, I'm starting to fucking hate hearing
just,
this
like
thing.
Like you said, taboo.
Yeah, people just throwing this shit out there when they do anything. Like, bro, what the, it's called generational wealth for a reason. Words have meaning for a reason, bro.
But it got to start with you.
And you really got to be doing some shit.
And the biggest thing I took away from that, though, I had a mentor say, he said, everybody's talking generational wealth, but people don't understand. You might not see that wealth, and you have to be okay with understanding. Hey, I might not never touch this M.
Exactly.
Or these two M's. But with understanding what would the Rockefellers do, once I read that book and I understood how they really monopolized the world, I was like, okay, it all started to make sense. And then you get around people who talk trust. You get around people who talk life insurance. You get around people who really talk in equity, who really having them equity talks. You know what I'm saying? And really talking about how to grow your money and not just, you know, buying cars, don't get me wrong, or buying, you know, different stuff, but really understanding how to set your kids up and yourself up once you do time gonna come once you out of here, so that the rest of your family be good. And we as a community definitely need those talks, because most of our grandparents, they don't even have life insurance. Some of them don't even have a will. We just don't keep it a book. My grandpa died.
My grandpa had bread. He passed away. He didn't have a will. My mother wasn't his biological daughter.
And probate court.
Bread gone to this day. That was 50. I'm 29 now. That was like 17. That was like 16, 17 years ago.
And those are the conversations us. You know what I'm saying? Because we the next generation. We about to be the OGs and stuff that we should be having with, you know, the younger crowd, even our own families, about, you know, just how to really build generational wealth. I think that'll help, you know, all our families.
No, man.
For sure, bro,
you just gave up so much value, bro. They going this. Hey, I'm telling you right now. I'm giving you a heads up. This finna go crazy,
Cool. I'd rather get on here and keep it a butt and then get on somebody's podcast and just tell people they want to hear. We gotta be open as a community to have those tough conversations, to have a conversation with, hey, this happened to me. I'm not okay.
Right.
And allow somebody who has that expertise it's not even about fixing you. It's helping you find out who you really are and become whole. Because like I said, the man I am today, I wasn't him at 25. I didn't even know who I was. You thought you knew who you were. You was like, hey, I want to do this. I want to have this. But most of those things are just tangible assets that you can have for right now. And then, like you said, that dopamine wear off and you like, shit, what's next?
What's next?
You know? So, man,
bro, you, like I said, this was fire, bro. But before I let you go, plug in all your stuff where the people could find you, follow you, if they want to be a client of yours. Plug everything.
For sure. So if you want to be a client of mine, you can hit me in a DM on Instagram at Jamari James _ that's James_ or you can go to my website JamariJames.com and book a consultation. Like I said, man, I give everybody 15 minutes for free because at the end of the day, that might be the aha moment that somebody needed. Just like I needed shit. Mm-hmm. Like I said, that L helped me so much, not only in this space, just really understanding, like, stop regurgitating the shit y'all see on the internet. Please stop. Please. Jesus Christ. This shit crazy.
It is. No, and I just talked about that on the previous episode, man. That shit.
What'd you say?
No, my guest said it. He was like, motherfuckers hear shit on the internet, and then they try to go run plays on shit they heard, and not go nowhere near how they thought. Near. Because they heard so-and-so saying, you could do this, you could do, like, bro, you need way more information than that. Because these is clips.
That's a punchline.
People
got
to keep in mind, these are 60 to 90 second clips. You're not going to get a whole play. You're going to get the foundation. But it's a lot more than the foundation.
Oh, yeah,
you know
sure.
what I'm saying? It's like a house. It's a lot more than just the foundation of the house. It's a lot of shit. And that's what you're getting when you watch these clips. So people need to understand that. Yeah. So you still got to dig deeper.
Yeah, but I ain't going to lie to you. This shit, like, for me, this 4 years in the making.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I started this shit to, what, 2019? Trying to figure it out, like everything that I know today, just trying to figure it out. And it took, like you said, those experiences, those L's, and everyday conversations, and getting around people who know way more than me in certain spaces, and, you know, feeling like sometimes you might get duped, but shit, I gotta pay this invoice. people got the information, but people, you know, I done had to go without so I could pay an invoice sometimes. That's just a part of entrepreneurship. And people, you know, they think you're going, like I said, you know, they're going to have the 10K, 20K, 30K, 40K months every month. It ain't going to be like that. So, it's just in moderation, man.
Yeah,
so.
It is. Man, ain't no way better to wrap up than that, man. Like Jamari said, y'all can tap into him and follow him on all these platforms. Y'all want to become a client, I'm going to put that link in the notes of this podcast. Sure. And y'all can follow me on all platforms. I'm at Xavier Miller. I'm at the official Xavier Miller on Instagram. You can follow me and Mindsets everywhere. That's Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. And tap in. And that's all I got for y'all on this episode of Millionaire Mindsets. I see you guys next episode. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.